This is a Mont Bold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
If you've got your Bibles, turn to Acts 16, please. If you don't have a Bible, go and sit next to someone that has got one. That would be good. Sharing is caring. All right. It's been a really great month, like I said, of our prayer month and the time that we've put aside to hear from God. And I just can't believe it's the end of February already, actually, and all the things that have happened. And I don't know, a few I've spoken to who have kept journals and things over the last month, and it's just been so powerful to see what God has said during that time. And I was sitting here, actually, it was a couple of weeks ago that I was sitting up the back there, and God just downloaded this, what I'm going to share with you this morning, which is quite unusual for me. Anyone who knows me knows that I'm a bit of a last-minute girl. Stop laughing, Pam. She knows me well. I work to a deadline. I need a deadline. So if anyone's going to give me a job, Sondi, you need to give me a deadline. I'm a deadline girl. But the thing is, I usually leave it right till the deadline. So I was really surprised that God downloaded a lot of this to me back then. So it's obvious that he's been building just around this theme in the house and the messages that have been shared over the last couple of weeks. So we're going to spend a bit of time in Acts 16 this morning. We're going to read a fair bit together. We're going to look at some other scriptures as well. And just to give you some context to this, what we're going to read about Paul and Silas here. You know, Paul's he's out to spread the gospel, right? He's out to spread the gospel is his mission. He's going and he's speaking the good news and he's bringing the kingdom of God from heaven to earth, and he's about to embark on another mission journey. And we're going to pick this up in Acts 16 verse 6, and for now we're just going to read through to 15. So Acts 16 verse 6, next Paul and Silas travelled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. Then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So instead, they went on through Mysia to the seaport of Troas. That night, Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there pleading with him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. We boarded a boat at Troas and sailed straight across to the island of Samothrace. And the next day, didn't realize there were so many big words in this. And the next day we landed at Neapolis. From there we reached Philippi. I know that word. I know that town. A major city of that district of Macedonia and a Roman colony, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went a little way outside the city to a riverbank where we thought people would be meeting for prayer. And we sat down to speak with some women who had gathered there. One of them was Lydia from Thyatira, a merchant of expensive purple cloth who worshipped God. As she listened to us, the Lord opened her heart and she accepted what Paul was saying. She and her household were baptized and she asked us to be her guests. "If you agree that I am a true believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my home." And she urged us until we agreed. We're just going to stop there for now. Before we read on, we're going to go a lot further in that chapter. I just want to point out a few things. Paul and Silas, right where they are right now, are in the will of God. And I want you to keep that in mind all through this message. As we go into the scripture a bit further, it's clear here that Paul and Silas are right where God intended them to be. They'd been prevented from their original plans, and they'd been directed by the Spirit to go to Macedonia, and they ended up in Philippi, a major city in the region. This was Paul's third choice of a destination. It wasn't that his original plans weren't good. And I want you to hear this today. In every little point that we share out of this scripture today, I want you to hear something from the Lord for you today, because I believe he's got that for each one of you today. It wasn't that the original plan wasn't good. Paul wanted to spread the gospel. That's good. Paul wanted to share the kingdom of God. That's good. But it wasn't where God wanted him to be at that time and at that place. It was a good plan to preach the gospel, but the timing wasn't right. So, church, here's point one that I want you to hear for us today. We need to be flexible and leadable. I don't even think leadable is a word, but I like it. We need to be flexible and leadable. Not once, not twice. It wasn't until the third time of Paul trying to do something. We often look for an open door when we think God wants us to do something. And he does open doors. The Bible says he opened doors that no one else can open, and he closes doors that no one else can close. And we often look for the open door when we want to go and do something for God. But I want to suggest to you today, and it's been true in my life, that more often or not, what directs me is the closed door. And Paul didn't have a hissy fit after the Lord said, don't go there and don't do that. He didn't sit down and say, oh, what have I done wrong? I've done the wrong thing. I mustn't be hearing from the Lord properly. Where have I gone wrong? I thought this was what he wanted me to do. He just said, okay, we'll go. If we can't go there, Lord, we'll go there. Oh, door closed again. Has that ever happened to you? And it's easy to get discouraged in that place. That would be an easy place to be discouraged already. Not just once, but twice God said no. When you really feel like there's something God wants you to do, and he says no, does that rock your world? Does it shake your faith? Does it make you doubt? So that happens to Paul. Lord, I'm doing a good thing for you. Not now, not there. All right. Okay, God, well then, okay, how about here? This isn't, no, wrong again. But Paul didn't give up, and he didn't lose hope, and he didn't lose faith, and he didn't get discouraged. He just kept listening, and he was teachable, he was flexible, and he was leadable. So I want to ask you today to be flexible and to be leadable, and not to get discouraged if God closes a door, but to trust him that he's got a better plan, even if you can't see it. Paul didn't have this, and he didn't know what was going to happen next. We can read that story and say, oh, okay, that's okay, but God had a better plan and we know what was about to happen. Paul didn't know that then, in the moment. So when God closes a door that you think was a good door, or where the Lord was leading you, just say, I trust you, God. He knows the bigger picture. He knows the bigger plan. What's happening in your life today where you need to say, okay, God, even if I can't see it and even if I don't know how this is going to work out, I trust that you've got it all worked out for my good. Because he does. God's plan was far bigger than Paul's original plan. Paul intended to reach a few more cities. That was his plan. He wanted to travel through, you know, he'd already reached some cities in that region that he was in, and he wanted to reach a few more cities, and that was a good idea. But God had an even bigger plan. God wanted to give Paul a continent. That's big, church. He was about to send Paul to Europe. And the gospel was going to be spread throughout all of Europe from that place. So Paul had a vision, and he thought, we'll reach these few towns, we'll reach our area. God's plan was much bigger. So I want to suggest today that if God's closing a door for you, that maybe, it could be, just maybe, that he's got a bigger plan that he's preparing you for. So don't get discouraged, church. God wanted to give Paul a continent for the kingdom of God. And Paul could have easily, like I said, felt rejected or shut down by God, but he remained flexible and leadable, and the outcome was far greater than he could ever hoped or imagined or dreamed of. Sorry, I keep playing with this. I need bigger ears. Yes. So I want you to keep in mind as we read on again, I just want to remind you that Paul and Silas, right where they are now, are right where God intended them to be. So let's read on. We're going to start, pick up at 16. So one day, as we were going down to the place of prayer, I just missed probably quite a vital point there. We've already seen the salvation of a whole household. Let's just not skip over that little fine detail there. God's already, before, you know, Paul just basically sets foot off the boat and thinks, okay, and obviously in that area, there weren't enough people, there weren't enough Jews to have a synagogue, and there needed to be about 10, is from what I understand. There needed to be 10 men in a place for there to be able to be a Jewish synagogue. So there wasn't in Philippi even that many Jews, but he thought, this is where they're probably going to be gathered to pray, so I'm going to go there. And he meets a woman, and after having a conversation, her heart's already soft. He didn't even have to really preach the gospel to her. She's asking him for it. So it says to me, when we're in the will of God and where he wants us to be, it, what seemed like a closed door, now they're flying open. And a whole household has already been saved because Paul and Silas were flexible and leadable. So one day we're going down to a place of prayer. We met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. She earned a lot of money for her masters by telling fortunes. She followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God and they have come to tell you how to be saved." This went on day after day after day until Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon with her, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And instantly it left her. Verse 19, her master's hopes of wealth were now shattered, so they grabbed Paul and Silas. They're right in the will of God, right where they're meant to be, right time, right place. They grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities at the marketplace. The whole city is in an uproar because of these Jews, they shouted to the city officials. They are teaching customs that are illegal for us Romans to practice. A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape, so the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. Right time, right place. Thank you, Lord. I want to say today that our circumstances can't be trusted and don't dictate to God what he's doing. Paul and Silas, we just determined, are in the will of God. They're in the right place at the right time. This is where God intended them to be, and it seems to go south pretty quick. We know the rest of the story. We know that they were arrested unfairly even because they actually are Roman citizens, and we're going to get to that. But God allowed this to happen. Let's just go back a little bit. You know, let's have a look at this woman. I think about this young girl and I think, you know, so a family's been saved, a whole family's already been brought to the Lord. We are seeing the evidence of the kingdom of God at work here. People are being set free. Demons are being cast out. The kingdom of God is having an impact on this community in the Bible. And the kingdom of God upsets the status quo. And I want to say, church, we've been asking to be a presence-centered church and for the kingdom of God to come from heaven to earth in our community. Are we ready to upset the status quo? And are we ready for what that might look like for us? Shake up the ground, Lord. Bring down the walls of all our religion. Shake up the ground of all our tradition. The kingdom of God will upset the status quo. It will turn things on its head. So things could always almost seem like they're going to get worse before they get better. Paul and Silas were stripped. They were humiliated. I think sometimes we read over this bit of passage and think, oh, that was terrible. And it was terrible. They were stripped and beaten with wooden rods. And I looked this up a little bit. The rods were usually made of birch wood, and the Roman soldiers would beat their victims mercilessly all over their entire body. The other frequent punishment with using rods was to bind the victims, lift them upside down with their feet exposed, and beat the bottom of their feet, breaking the bones in their feet. Remember the map of Paul and the endless miles that Paul walked to bring the gospel to the lost. Think about what we have on our feet, shoes of peace and of spreading the gospel. That to me was very significant. In the ancient world, a beating with rods was horrible, an ugly form of torture. A strong man would bind the victim's arms tightly around his body, incapacitating the victim's ability to move in much the same way as a straitjacket would do. And while the victim's upper chest and head still lay on the ground, his legs would be pulled up into the air. And at this point, a man with a rod would begin whacking the bottom of the victim's feet. He would whack and whack and whack until the feet of the victim were bleeding, broken, and maimed. At times, this beating was so severe that the victim would afterwards never be able to walk again. Can you see the feet of a gospel preacher are threatening to the devil? And Paul himself quoted Isaiah 52:7 when he wrote, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." This attack on Paul's feet was an attack against the gospel. And I just think, church, we need to be ready and prepared for attack and to have each other's back and to lift each other up. The enemy wants to make sure that wants to make sure with us that the maximum amount of damage was done on their feet. Because that's the thing that needed to be stopped, the gospel. Remember, they're right in the right place, right time, right in the will of God. What would that look like to you if God sent me out, if God sends you out and you step out into the very thing that you know He's asked you to do and you know He's called you to do it and He's closed all these other doors He's made it very obvious this is the way He wants you to go and you see good things start to happen. Wow, a whole family gets saved. A demon, a girl is set free and then an attack comes. And you know what, church? It actually just goes from bad to worse. Let's read on. Where were we up to? Verse 25. I'll go back to 22. A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. So the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in stocks. So they go to jail, but they don't just go to jail. They go to the dungeon. They don't just go to the dungeon. They go to the dungeon in the dungeon. And then to make matters worse, their feet have just been attacked. Their feet are broken, we could imagine, and bruised and bloody. And they get put in the dungeon, inside the dungeon, and they get their feet put in stocks. So their feet are like this. So the stocks that they used weren't just, you know, chains around. They were like spread apart to cause the maximum amount of pain that they could cause. So they wouldn't move around, they wouldn't cause any trouble. So it's just going from bad to worse for them. Let's read on. Verse 25. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, "Stop! Don't kill yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for the lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household." And they shared the word of the Lord with him and with all who lived in his household. Even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. Then he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. He brought them into his house and set a meal before them. And he and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. The next morning, the city officials sent the police to tell the jailer, "Let those men go." So the jailer told Paul, "The city officials have said you and Silas are free to leave. Go in peace." But Paul replied, "They have publicly beaten us without a trial and put us in prison. And we are Roman citizens. So now they want us to leave secretly? Certainly not. Let them come themselves and release us." And when the police reported this to the city officials, the city officials were alarmed to learn that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, so they came to the jail and apologized to them. Then they brought them out and begged them to leave the city. When Paul and Silas left the prison, they returned to the home of Lydia. There they met with the believers and encouraged them once more, and they left town. Around midnight, when it seemed the darkest, they've been humiliated, they've been beaten, they've been unfairly put in prison. They're in the dungeon, or inside the dungeon, with their feet in stocks. Around midnight, when it seemed the darkest, what were Paul and Silas doing? I know what I would have been doing, me and all my friends. What were Paul and Silas doing? They were praying and they were singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening. Have you ever wondered what Paul and Silas were praying? I know what I would have been praying. Get me out of here. Why have you abandoned me? Lord, rescue me. What did I do wrong? Didn't I hear you properly? I did what you wanted me to do. How could it have gone so bad? How did it get so wrong? It's not fair. They had no right. I have a right. I've got rights. This isn't right, God. Shouldn't be this hard to be a Christian. Shouldn't be this hard to follow you, God. That's what I'd be praying. I give up. I'll just sit here and eat worms. You're only laughing because you've done that as well. Had your little pity party. Because I have them. And I look at myself when I do that. Well, not in the moment. In the moment when it's first happening, that's I'm broken. And God lets me do that. He lets me do that for a minute. And then it gets to a point where I can see myself the way he sees me. And he kind of, this is how he does it with me. He says to me, "You're done now?" I'm like, "Yeah, okay, I'm done." And he says, "Okay, get up." But anyway, this was not what thank you, Lord, that it wasn't me. It was Paul and Silas, and they were there, and they were praying and they were praising. And the Bible here actually gives us an insight into what they were praying. It says that they were praying and singing hymns to God. The word used here for praise or hymns actually means to celebrate. Do you know what they were doing? They were celebrating. And you know who they were celebrating? They were celebrating God, is what they were doing. Because what did Paul and Silas have to celebrate? They had God. They chose to exalt God above their circumstances. They chose to set their sights on the realities of heaven where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. They chose to think about the things of heaven and not the things of earth. You know, that word that's used there for him is the same word that's used in Matthew 26:30, where it says Jesus is just about to go to Gethsemane. He's about to die on the cross for us, and they have the Last Supper together, and then just before they go to do that, they sing a hymn together. They sing a song of praise and of thanks. Jesus about to go to the cross for you and me and go through the worst couple of days, decides on the way, I'll sing a song of praise to God. And the song that they sang, we've got a copy of, and we've looked at this before. Oh, I've got to keep stop doing that. We've looked at this before. Turn to Psalm, let's have a look. Psalm, the Hallel that they sang, which is what they call it, the Great Hallel, is actually from Psalms 113 to 118, and it includes Psalms 136. So write that down, Psalm 113 to 118. And Psalm 136, because when you're in the dungeon, this is what they're singing. Praise the Lord. And remember, people are watching them. People are listening to what they're saying. People who are in the same boat that they're in. People that are experiencing the same pain that they're experiencing. People are watching us, church. There's people. We're not exempt in the church. We're not exempt. And I know that you can agree with this. We're not exempt from pain. We're not exempt from trials and suffering. What's the difference is how we respond in that moment. And the world is watching. This is what they sang. Praise the Lord. Yes, give praise, O servants to the Lord, servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord now and forever. Everywhere from east to west, praise the name of the Lord. For the Lord is high above the nations. His glory is higher than the heavens. Who can comprehend with the Lord? Who can be compared with the Lord our God who is enthroned on high? I can imagine Paul looking at Silas and saying, he stoops down to look on down on heaven and earth, and he lifts the poor up from the dust and the needy from the garbage dump. He sets them amongst princes, even the princes of his own people. He gives the childless woman a family, making her a happy mother. Praise the Lord. O Israel, trust the Lord. He is your helper and your shield. O priests, descendants of Aaron, trust the Lord. He is your helper and your shield. All you who fear the Lord, trust the Lord. Hey, Silas, he is your helper and your shield. I love it that they weren't there alone. They were there together to encourage each other, to lift each other up, to inspire each other, to say we're in this together. Right, side by side, I'm right with you. Paul and Silas are saying to each other. Church, that's so important for us. That we're right there with each other and encourage each other. Psalm 136, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. Remember their situation. Remember their position. Remember their pain, their suffering, the injustice. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who alone does mighty miracles. His faithful love endures forever. Around midnight, Paul and Silas are singing God's praises and the other prisoners are listening. And I want to remind you that midnight might be the very end. It's like the 12th hour, isn't it? Not the 11th hour. It's the end. It's the deepest, darkest part of the night. But do you know what else it is? It's the beginning of a new day. I want to encourage you with that today. When it seems the deepest, darkest place that you are, it's also a new day is just around the corner. Hold on, a new day is just around the corner. And what do you want to be found doing in that new day? What do I want to be found doing in that new day? I want to be found praising God because His faithful love endures forever. All my life you have been faithful. All my life, you've been so good. Even when it didn't look like it, God. And I get emotional because I remember the times when it didn't look like it. And it hurt. And it was hard. But I can say, God, you were so faithful. And there was a new day. And there's a new day for you. There's a new day for us. How could Paul and Silas praise and celebrate God? Because they had an eternal perspective. For them, it wasn't just about the moment they were in. It was about an eternal perspective. Around midnight, other prisoners were listening. A sound was echoing out around that prison. A new sound. It was a new sound. A sound that those prisoners had never heard before. What is that? I'm sure there weren't that many people that came in there singing a song like Paul and Silas. I think that there was probably a few choice other words that they were used to hearing. But a new sound was echoing out in that prison. And church, we have a new sound to sing to the community that we live in. We have a new sound to sing to our families. We have a new sound to sing into our situation that you're in right now. Other prisoners were listening. God placed them right in the place He needed that new sound to be heard. It's great when we're here together. I love this. It blesses me. I know it blesses God, and we should do it every chance we get. But where does that sound really need to be heard? Out there. Suddenly, I'm sure the hours beforehand didn't feel very suddenly to Paul and Silas. And sometimes there's a long wait for our suddenly. But suddenly there was a massive earthquake. All of the doors flew open. There was no resistance. All the chains fell off. Paul and Silas didn't need to put up a physical fight. They couldn't. They didn't sit and plan a strategy or a plan of escape. They didn't sit there and worry. They prayed and praised, and something supernatural happened. That you might not think an earthquake is supernatural, but an earthquake that doesn't bring the roof down on your head. You're in the dungeon in the dungeon, and the foundations of the prison are shaken with an earthquake, and the roof doesn't come down on your head. All that happens is the doors fly open. And the chains fall off. That's supernatural. That is supernatural. The prison's foundations were shifted. Things that are keeping you locked up, things that are keeping you in pain, things that are keeping you restricted can be shifted at the foundation through prayer and praise. I'm going to say that again. Things that are keeping you locked up, things that are keeping you in pain, things that are keeping you restricted can be shifted at the foundation through prayer and praise. Paul and Silas's prayer and praise not only freed them, but it had an effect on everybody around them. Not one other person in that prison had faith or was praying or praising. But through Paul and Silas bringing the kingdom of God from heaven to earth, it affected every single person in that place. You know, it would have been very easy for Paul and Silas to look what had just happened and think that God had saved them and then get out up and walk out. That's what I would have done. Yay, chains are off, doors are open. See ya. God, that was you. That was supernatural. That was your way of rescuing me. Thank you, God. That's awesome. I'm out. But what did they do? They stayed. They stayed. Why? Why did they stay? For the jailer. They stayed for the jailer. Their love and compassion for the jailer is what kept them there in that place. It would have been easy for them to walk out. And no one, if I'd have read that story, if the story stopped there, that would be awesome, wouldn't it? We would read that and we would go, that's awesome, God. And we got so much out of that, thank you. But that's actually not the end of the story. And it's actually not even to the core of what the story is about yet. If they had escaped, the prison guard and his family would have been killed because that was the responsibility. That was in those days, that was a responsibility put on. If that prison guard had have let them escape, he and his family would have been killed because of that. Paul and Silas' circumstances said escape, but love said stay. And the jailer was affected by the love and the grace demonstrated by Paul and Silas. And he came and said, what must I do to be saved? And you know what? Paul and Silas didn't hold a grudge towards the jailer. I would have. Oh, I'm exposing a lot about myself today. I'm sorry, God. I will. But in my natural self, I would have. What? This jailer would not have been real nice to them, I don't think, when they arrived in prison. He wouldn't have said, oh, you poor things, you've been so badly beaten, come this way and I'll just put you. He took them to the dungeon, in the dungeon, and put their feet in stocks. And he may have even been part of the initial beating. Paul and Silas didn't hold a grudge towards the jailer. They shared the good news of the gospel with an enemy. Verse 33 says that the jailer cared for them then and washed their wounds, the fruit of a changed life. This is the gospel in a nutshell here in this passage. What must I do to be saved? Led to repent, that he's repenting. What do I have to do? Paul didn't have to go through the, well, you know, let's talk about this theology and that theology. And, you know, I know there's time for that. But this wasn't the time. And Paul leads him through the gospel message. He gets saved and immediately there's fruit. And they come. The jailer comes and cares for them and dresses their wounds and feeds them and looks after them. I'm just going to go back to Acts. My Bible's not in the right. Even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. That's incredible to me. The kingdom of God coming from heaven to earth and changing a life. The very man who helped inflict wounds and pain was now helping to heal and care. That's what repentance looks like. And that's what happens when the kingdom of God is invited in. You know, God didn't actually send the earthquake to free Paul and Silas. And we know that because we read in verse 36 that the next day they were going to be released anyway. So what did they go through all that for? The jailer, you know, the officials come and say, okay, you can go now. So now we can see the earthquake was not about freeing Paul and Silas. It was about the jailer and his family and everyone else. I'm sure the jailer was not the only one saved that night. They were released the next day. The supernatural event that happened in the prison was about the salvation of a prison guard and his family. And in the end, once Paul and Silas are released, what do? They go to church. I love that. They go and have church. They go to Lydia's house. And now we can see God's plan. This is the spark that sets a whole continent on fire for God. That's the supernatural thing that happened. Around midnight, what does it look like for you right now? I do just want to encourage you again that a new day is coming. What are those around about you hearing? I'm not saying that Paul and Silas were in denial about their situation. They couldn't deny their situation. They couldn't say to the other prisoners, we're not really here. We're not really in pain. We're not really, it was obvious what was happening to them. We don't need to hide from the world, church, what's happening to us. We don't have to put on this face that we've got it all together and we're perfect. That's actually what does more damage. Because the world looks in that and sees that that's not true. We can admit that there's things going on in our life, that we have struggles, that our families are not perfect, that everything's not always right all the time, that sometimes things get hard. What makes the difference is how we respond in that. That's what they're watching. What are you going to do with that? So I want to encourage all of us today to think about that. How are we responding? Are we whinging or worshipping? Our prayers and praise change things. Our worship is a weapon and a witness, church. We're going to come and we're going to sing. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. We're going to sing that song 24/7 again. And I just love the words of that 24/7 around the clock. The words in this song just spoke to me about this message. And I just want to encourage you, if you're feeling like you're in a midnight, a new day's coming. And if you feel like you're there alone, go and stand next to somebody and encourage each other, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to each other. Remind each other of the times when God's been good to you, when he's been faithful to you. He hasn't changed. He's the same that he was then as he is today and he will be tomorrow.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.